Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
And here's our disassembling of a computer. And Geraldine is wielding a screwdriver.
That's a worry.
That she will be using to disassemble this machine. And luckily for her, this is a non-working computer that she'll be disassembling at the moment.
I can't do too much damage then, can I?
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you think you're going to do
well,
first?
I've just taken the case off, which was already pre-loosened, so I'm one step ahead there. But if you do have to remove the case, you're taking the screws out from the back, the rear of the computer along the very sides. There are about four screws. And then you slide the case back from the front and it slides and lifts off.
Now this is with this is a mini tower case we're talking about here.
It's a mini tower case.
There are some cases where the screws are actually recessed in behind the front panel, just to make your life that much interesting. So you have to lever off the front panel and then take the screws out the front. But Geraldine's right. This is the way you do most of them. So but look for the screws and take the right screws out.
Now I have this computer standing upright on the desktop, but just to make things a little bit easier to start with, I'm actually going to put it on its side. Now there are two sides. One side has a lot of metal frame, and so I'm actually going to lay it on that side because the other side is quite open and I can get my hands in there.
The metal frame that she speaks of is the plate on which the motherboard or the system board is mounted.
That's correct. Okay, now I'm just coming to the, I have it laying in front of me now. So I have the motherboard on my left-hand side and facing, obviously, it's flat against the rear now. So I'm coming up to the first component on the right, which is actually the hard drive.
I'm just about to walk past the dog and see which way you've got this sitting.
I've just got this laying here, Kerry.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
So what she has is she has the power supply at the top furthest away from her. And on her right, she has the CD-ROM, so it's just flipped down as if it was sitting up on a desk and just laid down onto its back plate. So, yep.
That's right. Now, what I'm going to do is actually, before I start anything here, is I'm going to remove the power connector from the hard drive. And easier said than done. They take a bit of wriggling. The power connector's the plastic connector that you'll feel, and it's about midway up the computer, and it's connected to a whole lot of cables. Not particularly easy to get out, I'm still struggling. But
they're called Molex connectors.
Molex connector.
Yeah.
And they take a bit of wriggling.
And if Geraldine can't do it in a minute, I will.
I have got it.
Ah, well done.
I had my Weet-Bix this morning.
You did. I had Weet-Bix too. Three with milk and sugar.
Okay, now I'm coming down to one of the, below that power connector is actually a ribbon cable that actually comes out from the hard drive. And I'm going to remove that. It just gives me a bit of room to actually work.
Now always keep in mind that we're obviously observing full anti-static procedures. We have our hand touching bare metal on the case. For this computer, we're not actually wearing a grounding strap, but it doesn't work, so it's not a big concern.
Okay, now I'm actually coming up to, on the top here of the hard drive, I'm actually going to undo some screws. There are two screws going into a metal plate that's actually holding the hard drive in place. So I'm just taking the first screw out now because obviously I want to take the hard drive out of the computer, and so to do that I've got to remove the screws.
I'll just pause. And we're recording again. And we're back with us, and I'm just going to make sure the duration counter's going up while you do that over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, and we do apologise if you hear some people wandering through. We do have a university full of people, so we've got Alex running around trying to fix things and Ian trying to figure out what's broken, so...
And Topo's running around with a teddy.
That's right.
Okay, now I've just removed those two screws from the hard drive. I'm actually going to flip the computer back up again so it's upright, so I can actually get to the screws on the other side, which is actually easier said than done. because on the far side you've actually got a metal plate that the motherboard stands on, and to get to the screws you actually have to, there are six sort of ovaly holes. You actually have to put the screwdriver through the bottom right hole to get to the screw that belongs to the hard drive. And then what one usually ends up doing, which is usually what happens to me, is it's going to happen again. I'm going to tighten it again. I'm going to get my hand in there and try and undo that without dropping it inside the computer. And you'll excuse me if I do, but we'll try not to. Of course, they're difficult to find then, of course, for us.
Well, difficult to find for anybody. You end up having to pick the computer up and shaking it.
Particularly hard for us. Okay, now to get the other one out, you can actually go to the left-hand side of the plate and put your screwdriver on the base of the hard drive. And again, what I'm doing is lifting that screw till it's almost out. Oops, and then she dropped it. I told you I'd do that, didn't I? So we just rattle, rattle, and there it is. So that hard drive is now unscrewed, and what I can do is then just, I'm going to go back onto the original side that I was on. I just find it easier to do it this way. And I'm actually wriggling that hard drive out of its slot.
Interesting enough, I'm a technician's hero, and I don't tip them over onto their side. I just reach across the back and take the screws out. But I've had a lot more practice, so.
And as you said, you're a technician's hero, so.
That's right.
There we are. One hard drive. Clunk on the desk.
It did indeed.
Now, I'm coming up to the floppy drive now. I'm just going to, it's the next slot up, and you'll be able to feel that on the front panel, and then you'll be able to feel where it corresponds on the inside of the PC. I'm going to remove, firstly, the power connector, and then I'm going to remove the ribbon cable, which is a twisted ribbon cable. And Kerry can tell you all about twisted
ribbon cable. There is a twist in the end of that, because basically they have to differentiate the connectors on the cable that make drive A and drive B, and the drive A is always connected past the twist, and it's usually connected on the end of the cable, whereas drive B is connected directly through the motherboard on the 34-pin ribbon cable.
Now, just coming up a little further right to the side of the floppy drive, and I'm actually removing the screws. Again, going through this process. Kerry always said I had a screw loose.
Quite a number of screws loose now, it is.
Okay, now we have two screws out.
Did they put them in the other side of the floppy as well to be really nasty?
We'll find out. We will find out. And guess what? They did. So, I'm back around that the other side. I've turned the computer upright again. I've come to the top row of the three sets of oval gaps that are in the faceplate on the side. And I'm now unscrewing the first screw. Again, it's a little tricky because you're working, one might say, blind. And again, I'm trying to reach up there, but it's actually quite difficult. So if it drops, we'll do a rattle. Okay. You can sing a song while I'm unscrewing, Kerry.
This is the way we remove the screws, and there it goes into the case again.
Yep.
That's no problem.
Remove the screws.
This is the way we remove the screws on the Thursday morning. Alright, so maybe I'll think I might actually hit the pause button while this is happening.
Yes.
Because obviously there's not a lot to see or hear. Well, the screwdriver goes around and around, I suppose the
screwdriver goes round and round, whoa.
I shall hit pause. There we go.
Okay, now I've removed all the screws, so I'm now taking the floppy drive out of the computer. And it's very tight.
So you just have to wiggle back till you find
it. And there it goes.
And one floppy drive. Remembering to keep all your screws as you go. Best to have a little pot next to you so you can actually put the screws in.
And that's a pot to put the screws in?
Yes.
We wouldn't recommend in any other things to have next to you, because that would quite distract you from taking the computer apart.
Okay, now we're coming up to the CD-ROM drive, which is the next up the scale. And again, I'm going to remove the power connector.
I'm thinking this morning we won't actually remove the ribbon cables off the motherboard. I think we'll describe where they go,
okay,
because...
And I'm just removing the ribbon cable from the CD-ROM drive. Okay, and again, these are at the uppermost part now, the internal part of the computer, and there are two screws. You might find there are more, but there are two in this one. But there are holes for more, and I'm just taking the screws out now on the first side. I'm actually doing this upright at the moment because I'm right at the top. I'm not having to bend over. Not that I'm particularly tall. 5'2", eyes are green.
That's the one, and what we'll find is that there'll be screws in both sides of the CD-ROM normally, and depending on who put your computer together, depends on how many screws hold it together. If you have to take computers apart a lot, you tend to be a bit minimalist on the screws and only have enough screws to actually hold the components in place. However, if you are building a computer for somebody else, I do recommend that you do put all the necessary screws in.
Now you may actually, I've nearly got this last screw out now, and you may actually find that with the CD-ROM, if you just pull it out the front of the computer this time, much easier for you. Okay, so we have one CD-ROM taken out of the computer, and I'm actually going to put it back on its side, motherboard faced down at the moment. So, okay. Number of cables sitting here, power cables, and we're just going to do a little bit of a description where everything goes as far as they go. But before I do that, because of the little bit of room that's in here, I'm going to remove the cards that are sitting in the motherboard at the moment, and we'll also then I'll get rid of the memory cards and remove any RAM for you. So we're looking at the first card coming up from the bottom, and it's actually, there's a screw, number of screws, but you can actually feel a little plate that connects to the side of the computer itself. And we're going to undo that screw, and
the screw is above the card. That's very important to take the screw above the card, not the one below it.
That's correct. And I'm going to describe the card to you and the external component of the card as well, and then we will tell you what they all are as we go. So I've taken out that screw, and I'm actually going to wriggle. And this is a little tricky. Just trying to wriggle it out. And we heard it come out then. And this card is about 5 inches long by about 3 inches across. It has a number of components, of course, on the
printed
circuit board, and on the end we have the microphone inlet. This is on the steel end. Another inlet, another one. They're all little round inlets, three in a row.
Which would probably be microphone, line in, and line out.
Correct. And then we have a female connector,
which is a D15 pin connector, and that'll be a game port.
Yes.
For connecting your joystick.
So on a graphics, not graphics, a video type card.
No, it's a game. That's a sound
game
card.
Sorry,
it's a sound card.
Sound card, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a game port is where you connect your joystick for playing your games onto.
Okay.
Yep.
So the next one we have coming up. Now, on the, again, it's a metal...
slot bracket that is attached to the side of the card that holds the card, stops the card from falling out of the slot.
Okay, and again, we're going to do a little bit of wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Okay, now, this card is probably, I can tell you what it is, it's a network card. It has the RJ45 connector on the end, and a female connector as well.
Which is for the AUI, the auxiliary attachment interface for the external transceiver.
And then we have a... not sure what you...
BNC connector.
Yes, it's like a... just wasn't sure how to describe it. Stands out from the card about 3/4 of an inch perhaps, and it's metal and then plastic right at the base. A number of components on this network card. Probably about 6 inches long. 3 inches across.
Yep.
Perhaps. Okay. I feel like a surgeon here, Kerry.
Does that mean I have to start making beep, beep, beep noises?
Something like that. Oh, yes. No, but this one's dead.
Ah.
I'm going to apply CPR quickly.
Yes. Is it like computer person repair or something?
Something like that. Now, we have the next screw loose. And we're going to go wriggle, wriggle, wriggle. Okay, now this card has a female connector on the end and is a graphics card. It is about 6 inches long, 3 inches across. Depth is only, tiny, tiny, couple of millimetres. It has a number of components, including the little graphics. Graphics.
Ah, memory. There's their memory sockets.
Yeah.
And in fact, this card is upgradable. There's actually the BIOS chip is this socketed one over here, Geraldine. There's a BIOS chip in the socket. And the card actually has a meg of memory on it in 4 256K by 4-bit chips. And I believe you could put another meg on there if you wanted to.
Mm. Very good to be able to do so. Okay, which brings us now, we've actually removed all of the cards, and for today we're not going to actually detach all the ribbon cables from this computer, but there are 4 ribbon cables going into the computer. We have the twisted cable, which is from the floppy disk drive, and we have another normal type flat cable, ribbon cable, that's coming from the hard drive and from the CD-ROM, and they are attaching to the motherboard between the SIMs and where the RAM is, and we don't have any RAM in this computer.
That was because the RAM has been removed.
That is because the RAM has been removed.
RAM doesn't have a brain. It doesn't. Well, RAM is one of the most valuable components in the computer, and when your computer dies, the first thing you do is probably take out the RAM and the batteries and anything else that's salvageable.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I'll just stop. Yeah, I will do that.
Okay.
And here we go. Okay. And just for something different now, I'm putting this computer back together.
That's so he can call me destructor.
That's the one. She can take it apart and I can put it together. Now, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put things together, back together in a slightly different order. Okay, so we have the ISA sound card, which goes in the bottom ISA slot. It has an empty bracket. So I'll just move those ribbon cables back over that side. drop. Can I put down a key like that? Make sure it goes down flush with the system board. And we pick up a screw out of the magic screw box for excitement.
And he's a pretty nifty man with a screwdriver.
So they tell me. So they tell me. And we have, as you can hear, the battle of the keys in the background there. Always, always, I'm sorry to make as much noise as you need to. Swing that cupboard open and extract whatever it is you need. And I've got the wrong size screw, so we'll just get a small screw to go in that hole.
One, you've got to live up to your reputation, Kerry.
Yeah, well, performance anxiety and all that. Don't seem to. Screws don't want to go back in their slots, I tell you. Just take her word for it that she took this apart. Can you pause for a second? Got that?
Yep.
Alrighty, and once we wobble the cards around a bit, because it's a bit of an old computer, the screws do this, but go into the slots. And that's the sound card in. The next card we're putting back in is the network card, which is a 3C905 with all three network connectors, BNC, twisted pair, and AUI. One of the first very few cards that still has all those connectors, and this one's actually a PCI card, which goes into a smaller slot that's a different colour to the ISA. Line the card up, and drops in nicely there.
You can actually hear it when it does, don't you?
You can. Yeah. That duration is counting up down the bottom of that screen, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I just hate to be recording and I'll have it come out, which will be very sad. Say things like arg. Okay, and walk around here. We'll feed the screw into the network card so that it doesn't fall out. In the bad days of computer repairs, I have actually seen computers that do not have screws in them. Cards do fall out while the computer is running. And unfortunately, those sorts of crashes, we can't blame on Windows. It's more of a technician fault there. Okay. Next, we insert a 2 meg, it's like an S3 PCI VA card, actually. I'm guessing, however. We'll be going into the top slot here. The second from top slot. No, the top slot, because this board doesn't have any AGP on it. And a bit tight to work on these AT cases. But I suppose it's whatever you got to do when the chips are down, which they are, facing down. It's also when you can trust a hamburger in an emergency when the chips are down. Yeah. And we're here all week. Well, I'm going to say Thursday, Friday, anyway. Okay. Voila! Exclamation mark, another French words. That's in. So we're going to have all three cards back in the computer.
Excellent.
Like, now for the particular part, we will tip it back up onto its feet.
Just be careful when you are moving it around, because the edges are a little sharp.
They are, and in a perfect world, apparently you're supposed to cover them all with tape, which I've never seen done in my life, but we can dream about it. And we take the setting ROM here, which goes into the top bay. Slide back in level, slide back. Find the ribbon cable that should fit into the setting ROM. Feed it up through the little hole.
to make sure it's the right way up, and plug that into the 40-pin connector on the back of the Cedarion drive, which we've just done. There's a power cable sitting on it next to the power connector of the Cedarion. In it goes. Slide it back level with the case. Cut the screws to go in the sides of the Cedarion. I'm a very lazy person. I'm only putting it in because this computer doesn't actually work. Okay, so in goes one. Okay. And two should be sufficient to hold it in place. Obviously, the higher the speed of your CD-ROM, the more vibrations it's going to generate, and the more affixed to the case you want it to be.
It's giving you good vibrations.
It is. Or bad vibrations if you don't have enough screws. Now, as we can see, Geraldine's got a day job, and we hope that she doesn't give that up anytime soon.
Oh, we won't.
No. Now, that's the CD-ROM screwed in and wired up. Next we're going to do the floppy drive. The floppy drive. Slot the floppy drive in the floppy drive size hole.
I think he was trying to say to you all that I can't sing, and he's absolutely correct.
Oh, I didn't say she couldn't sing.
Doesn't particularly stop me though.
No, of course not. No, it doesn't stop me from singing either. Although, regrettably, karaoke is not one of the required skills for this course.
That's good, isn't it?
It is.
We'd be in trouble.
We would. So now we find this, the floppy drive cable is notched to stop you from putting it in the right way. And the notch is on the bottom of the floppy drive, so the bottom of the floppy cable is on the bottom of the floppy drive. Hold the drive steady with one hand and feed the ribbon in from the other side because we haven't put any screws in there yet. That's it. Now we're looking for a small version of the Moldex connector. Just dangling off the power supply here somewhere. Somebody has tied these cables together with cable ties, which can sometimes make finding things a little more interesting than usual. However, such a task is far from possible. Here we have a mini Molex connector that we turn over the right way and plug into our floppy drive. Now, handy here with floppy drives, people, if you plug the cable in around the wrong way because it doesn't have notches on it, and some of them don't, the light will stay on. And if you put a disc in the disc will be constantly spinning. That is not a good look, and we don't want to be doing that if we can help it. Line the screws up with the floppy drive. Lift the floppy drive until the holes line up with the screw holes. Easier said than done. Thinner screws for the floppy drive. Now, generally speaking, you have a maximum of 4 screws in the old floppy drive. There's one that's just lined up. So I can get a couple of turns with the old finger just to stop it from falling out. And then screwdriver in the end. Being careful not to cross-thread the screw, because if you cross-thread the screw, you're going to damage the thread on the screw and the screws, and that's not the best thing we'd like to be doing. Okay, so there's one in, and we'll just put one more in for the look of the thing. And, in fact, one side of the screws are slots and the other side are screw holes, so it's important to line those up properly or the screw soon. Okay. do we do? So it doesn't want to go in there. So I'm going to hit pause for a second while I...
Yes.
Alrighty, and that's the floppy drive secured well enough. It's certainly not coming out anytime soon. And yep, that's excellent. Now the only thing left to go back in here is a 3.2, by the look of it, gig quantum fireball. I turn into fireballs on occasions. Flames and everything. But usually they run pretty well. And, lining the hard drive up to get it to drop into that bay can be a little bit of a balancing act. And this is the time you wish you hadn't put the video card in before you took the hard drive out. But these things are sent to try us. And as I was saying to Geraldine earlier, one of the reasons why we moved to the ATX style of case was that somebody sat down one summer's day and had to think about how to design these in a more sensible way. Okay, that's the hard drive slid into the bay. Just for ease, while we've got access to it, we will plug the 40-pin IDE ribbon cable into the drive, which is a 40-pin connector over the right-hand side of the drive. And 4-pin Molex power connector. Retrieve this Phillips head screwdriver from where I dropped it. And we're looking for some screws that will fix the hard drive into position so it doesn't slide in the bay. Doing a very wonderful job keeping the door opening and closing noises down to a minimum, which is wonderful. Yeah, I do appreciate that. But if you've been angry there, feel free to slam the door and pigeons. Okay, so there's another screw in the hard drive there. And one more just to keep it into position. And down this end of the hard drive. And over there. I've been doing this for too many years. The RBM technicians doesn't take to change a light bulb. Well, I can't tell you off the top of my head, but you can look it up in the document GC4718397, interchange of incandescent electric lighting components.
If you so move to do so.
That's right. And that's a done deal. We have the computer back together.
Done deal.
It is, and that's all sorted. There is a Redbook audio cable here that needs to be connected into the CD-ROM, which goes across onto the other side.
And there's also a case cover, but we're not going to go down that road.
No.
I think we all know how to put a case cover on.
Well,
once you've taken it off.
That's right. That's right.
Actually, just sort of clicks in and slides back into place.
It does. And
replace the screws.
And this is a digital Redbook audio cable, so it plugs into the end of the signal. See where that runs. It's always fun. Oh no, that actually looks like a power light, so I won't be connecting that here. It's all the same to you. Okay, so that's a done deal, and we just need to put the tidy up the cables a little bit and put the caps on. So there you go, there you have it. And Geraldine will then tap the stop button.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.